excuse me. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you notice, my sermon today is on why. But before I go into this, look at the front. It says the Sermon of the Word. And this is the last Sunday of the church year. And it's called the Sunday of the Fulfillment of the Promise. How many of you knew the last Sunday was that? Next week, we start with Advent. Okay? And we have four Sundays. Anybody remember what the four Sundays are in Advent? Love, peace, joy, hope. Love, peace, joy, and hope. Those are the four Sundays in Advent. So we begin our church year with love, joy, peace, and hope. But we finish the year with a celebration of the fulfillment of the promise, the end times. I find that very interesting in the church here, why it's set up that way. All right, so we're going to look at why today. Why worship? Why believe in Jesus? Why believe in God? Why are we promised eternal life? Of course, the answer to all these questions is, why not? Why not worship? Why not believe in Jesus? Why not believe in God? And why are we promised eternal life? You know, we talk about Advent coming. Advent is the basis for the word adventure. Now stop and think about that for a second. If we're going to have an adventure, we're going to have something fun, aren't we? So Advent is a celebration of the good in the church. Love, joy, peace, and hope. Yeah, when I think of the end times, I know it's a time of judgment. But more importantly, it is a time of the fulfillment of the promise. Remember, Christianity was not originally called Christianity. It was called the promise. Well, the promise of what? The promise of eternal life with our Savior in heaven. Well, so why are we here? Well, let's go back to the catechism. You know, as Christians, especially Lutheran Christians, we go through the catechism, Luther's small catechism. When I was a kid, we had to memorize the darn thing. We don't do that anymore. Sometimes I wonder if that's good or bad, you know. But when I was in the seminary, I had to memorize it again. It was one of those things, just help me get through this. The day of Christ's return is known only by the Father. One of the things about the catechism, and Gene, you might not know this because you didn't grow up in a Lutheran tradition. We have a question in there. And then instead of trying to explain the answers, the catechism uses scripture to make the explanation. So the only explanation is in there is from scripture. And that's one of the things I like about it, because it's one of those things like searching the Bible, here's the answer to it, except it's all laid out for you. Pardon? Yeah, it's Google for the Bible before there was Google. I like that. So Mark 13, verse 32. No one knows about the day, about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. And why is that? 2 Peter 3:10. Because we must be prepared at all times, because Jesus will come like a thief in the night. In other words, he's going to sneak up on us. And then Matthew 24:7, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirit and things taught by demons. I don't know about you, but does that sound like something that might be happening today? But folks, the end times have been with us ever since the death of Jesus. Now, one of the exercises we had to do in the seminary is pull prophecy out in Revelation and find something in history that follows that process to the T, that prophecy. I found two things in the Roman Empire that fell apart that followed it exactly. All right, so are we in the end times now? Yes. Is it totally biblical because it's going to end now? What does it say? It's only known to the Father. Even Jesus doesn't know. But we are here to prepare for the end times, aren't we? Isn't that really why we're here, is for the second coming of Jesus, when he comes to save us from this life? I think so. So are the end times a time of fear, or should they be a time of joy? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? All right, so when I was in the catechism, I went to page 145. And the statement made is the return of Christ is a joy and source of hope for the Christian. Luke 21:28. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Hebrews 9:28. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Titus 2:13. We wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And finally, in Revelation 22:20, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. My friends, when I do Bible searches, I have a Bible program that I'll put in my subject, and it'll come up with all the verses. And many times I do that because I'm trying to understand it and come to an understanding that I can share with you, which is what you pay me for, okay? And that's what I've been called for. But many times the verses that come up, I am so surprised, will actually form a narrative that explains the Bible. All right, so let's read those verses we just did in the space of a narrative, and I'm going to add three words to it: then, so, and Jesus. So the thing is, when we have the he who testifies, I'm going to say Jesus testifies to these things, because he's the one that's doing the testifying. All right. So let's read this as a narrative. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation for those who are waiting for him. Then we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Jesus, who testifies to these things, says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty good explanation of the end times, don't you? Now, those verses were not written that way in the Bible, but they're the verses that are used to explain it. You pull out the explanation, and all of a sudden, the Bible is talking to you in a fresh manner. One of the things that I had a prophet say, and I love this, 84 years old, the Holy Spirit has spoken to me today. Dr. Scare the Elder. And what it was is he saw something new in the Bible. We just experienced something new from the Bible as we sat here and we talked about the end times. Is the Bible a living document? Yes. Does it speak to us today? Yes. Are we answering the question of why? Yes. This is why we're here. This is why we worship. This is why we believe in Jesus, and this is why we believe in the promise of eternal life. So in closing, I'd like to finish with our gospel lesson today, and we're going to start in verse 31 if you want to look on in your bulletin. And I think because it continues our narrative of hope and joy in the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, have I focused on judgment today? Have I said to any of you, you're going to hell? Have you heard that in other Christian churches? Yeah. That's not why we're here. We're here because of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in a prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when we did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, verily, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. My friends, since we are all the least of the brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, rest assured that as is done to the least of us, Jesus will bless us in the same way. May this promise of the second coming and that promise of eternal life in heaven keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Hallelujah and amen.